You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Friday, 29 May. We had Japanese inflation data out an hour ago, year on year, 1.4%. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Skokkle, PSG, Old Oak, strong results from Lewis. Life healthcare market did not like the healthcare numbers at all. We're chatting with the CEO of Bitexen, Saab. And National Treasury have given updated statements on the draft capital flow management regulation that has seemingly calmed the initial fears around that. We'll get updates on that. And thoughts for me, SpaceX, not listing as a space stock, it really is listing as a AI company. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb. The AA warns consumers about safety concerns with Chinese vehicles, claims that the tensile strength of the metal used for key structural parts rang an alarm bell. Business Day, Reserve Bank hikes prime interest rate to 10.5% as inflation risks intensify. The MPC divided as rising oil and food costs threaten those inflation targets. The vote was 4-2. 2-1 to no change. Morning markets, US was green, S&P 0.6% up, Nasdaq 0.8% higher. The East is green, Sydney 0.5% up, Tokyo almost 2% up, Hong Kong 0.8% and Tencent 1.7% higher. Commodities, mostly green. Gold futures, 4,528. Brent is the red, 92.53. Platinum, 1,918. And palladium, 1,390. Rand is 16.24. Bitcoin, 73,300. And top 40 opening call, green open, 960 points, or 0.9% higher.
MoneyWeb now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Skokkle, PSG, Old Oak. Skok, the Lewis results out yesterday. I always say it's a bank masquerading as a furniture store. Say what we will about their business model. The point is it really, really does work. We had revenue up over 11%, headline earnings up over 18%, a dividend up 12%. Strong numbers. The market liked it. They really are a extremely efficient operation.
Yeah. Good morning, Simon. Good morning to all the listeners. Yeah, and you need to add to that. I mean, over the past 5 years, this company has grown over 160%. So, wow, it's been great. I loved your intro, just by the way. I mean, retail company masquerading as a bank or bank masquerading. And why did Simon say that? I mean, if you just look at it, I mean, just let's look at the first blast. I mean, revenue for the first time crossed the 10 billion mark.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's really good. Up 11.1%, as you mentioned. But and one can argue that the whole debtors book has not been made in 1 year. But you know, it's usually short-term debt. But that whole debtors book is 9.2 billion rand. I mean, you get the math. 10 billion turnover, 9.2 billion in a debtors book. So that's and it's up. You know, up currently they've got about 783,000 customers. That's up 77,000 accounts. So that was good. So in general, I thought the results looked really, really good. You know, when you drill through them, everything just looked fantastic. Operating margins, they actually improved, you know, from 23% to 25.2%. You mentioned the turnover is looking good. People definitely buying new beds. I mean, real beds is good. Things that really stood out for me as well was the new stores they opened. Yeah. And that's something that I always looked at when I look at the likes of the Clicks and the Discounts and those. Is how many stores are they managing to open? 58 new stores opened this year, you know, with real beds adding, you know, 36 outlets. I mean, that's That's really, really good. They've now got a footprint of just shy of 1,000 stores. I think looking at the outlook and forecast, they're going to surpass that 1,000 store mark this year, because they're planning to open a further 40 stores this year. So looking at the let's call it results broadly, it's looking good. I'm going to put a question mark. We've seen the first rate hike yesterday. Mm-hmm. You know, people tend to think that this will be a short-term hike. I think that's usually the tendency. When I look at over the past, let's call it 50 years, an average hiking cycle took about 31 months, and an average declining cycle 33 months. So the maths is behind a short-term hike. So I would always just caution, just look at this. We need to, they do have a lot of a lot of provisions for bad debts.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be interesting to see what the next 6 months look like.
I take your point, 100%. And fun fact, dividend of 8 rand 97 yeah. for the year. Stocks 88 rand. That's a 10% dividend yield. And it's always just been an insane dividend yield from that stock. Let's move to Life Healthcare. 6 months results are to March. The market did not like these numbers. On the surface, I mean, revenue up only 2.4%. I get that. There's not a giant one. Normalized EBITDA just over 5% up. The normalized earnings up 8.4%. What was the market hating here?
No, that's a trend. Simon, we've seen it. And then this week is sort of a case in point. I mean, and what I meant about trend, it's not referring to Life Health. I'm talking about a general trend where the market like results sort of just got surprised a little bit. Our market is still priced fairly cheaply. So when markets are priced on the upside, they get rewarded. We've seen the likes of Telkom earlier this week. We've seen, we just spoke about Lewis, a nice surprise, over 5%. And the inverse is also, when you sort of disappoint, you get the Raynet earlier this week, 12% down, Life Healthcare down over 6%. And I think for Life Healthcare, it's also sort of, it's a tough one to be reporting in the same week where Netcare have reported much better results. So let's just quickly run through them, because listeners might not. As you mentioned, the turnover fairly flat, 2.4%. When I compare that to the likes of Netcare at more than double the turnover growth. And when we look at MedicClinic, now I know MedicClinic is a bit longer. I think that was September. Was up 10%. So when you compare apples with apples, I think Mr. Market just told us, whoa, this is a little bit flat. They also missed the consensus. Consensus forecast was 59 cents. They came out at 53.1 cents. But remember, they did guide, but they also came out in the lower end of the guidance as well. So I think when you drill through them, the acute hospitals, when you look at the revenue there, the revenue was only up 1.1%. And you look at the PPDs, now, that's fancy words for saying paid patient days. That was actually down. That's the money spinner. That's sort of the pot boiler, for Life Healthcare. And that was actually down. So in general, that didn't look too exciting. Also note that they not, a solely focused Southern African company. They sold all their foreign investments and hospitals and those kind of things. So they're now solely Southern Africa. So, I think just no great results. Also, I mean, we mentioned earlier Lewis' five-year performance. This is a company that's down 50% over the past 5 years. So I've been struggling, and I think people now are waiting for a bit of a recovery there.
Yeah, I take your point. It has been a tough period for them. We'll leave it there. That's Scott Glow, PSG Old Oak. Go find him on the Twitters. He will do a month-end update for us, because today is the last trading day. Scott Glow, always appreciate the early morning time. And that's our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. Lewis, good investment at these levels. Have your vote. Have your say. Let your money weather the storms with StanLib Asset Management. Invest in the StanLib Global Select Fund, a diversified all-weather equity portfolio sub-managed by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Mark Diogo. He is CEO at BitExon. Mark, appreciate the time. The draft capital flow management regulations, there's been a fair bit of concern around this, but National Treasury and the South African Reserve Bank had issued an updated statement on this new regulation. Talk me through what the concerns were and what they've said to alleviate those concerns, if they have, to your mind.
Fantastic, Simon. Thanks for having me on. So originally the concerns from, as you say, the rolls off the tongue with the draft capital management flow regulations. So we were looking at coming down a couple of months ago and concerning the industry and the wider public of crypto, whether they're holding some Bitcoin, whether they're holding these alternative coins, these stable coins in their own private self-custody wallet. The concern was that maybe Treasury could come and seize those and take them from you, maybe offer you fair market value, maybe determine its own value. Furthermore, if you're passing through an airport, you're crossing a border, you're about to take your USB stick out of the country.
Yeah, yeah.
Or perhaps seed phrase you have written loosely on your person, could they check you for it and capture it? As the next stage to that became the market reaction, the public commentary period, then a further clarification, public media statement that came down from National Treasury in conjunction with the Reserve Bank, just clarifying that they hadn't intended the draft regulations to capture and seize possession of the average crypto user. Really, their focus was on demonstrable illicit activity, potential crime, and really just going after what they had reasonable grounds of suspicion on, and not just Joe Public.
Gotcha. I mean, I've got my crypto in cold storage. It's on a USB stick. I don't take it on holiday with me, but if I did, I would not be, you know, wanting to give it to some sort of National Treasury or airport officials. But crypto assets are formally classified as capital for cross-border purposes.
Yeah, correct. And this is where I think we're going to see legislation evolve, and BitExon itself, we operate in multiple regulated territories outside of South Africa, entering the market and working with the regulation that's available, mm-hmm. but also seeing how that's changing over time. And I think what we're going to see is really what it's pointing to in this draft legislation, as well as the public comment that I've seen so far, is different states of cryptocurrency. So some are more cash equivalent, whether it's stable coin, some are more potentially gold or store of value equivalent like Bitcoin. But then we're seeing more emergent, what we might call real-world asset tokenization projects, or DeFi, decentralized finance protocols. And I think that's why we're going to see a definite distinction between what's capital and what's a different, maybe not a security, but a quasi sort of financial instrument that lives on the blockchain, and maybe different rules for different purposes.
Yeah, because that's just it. I mean, because the blockchain doesn't complicate it. Blockchain is at the heart of crypto, at the heart of DeFi. But I mean, it has implications for someone who moves rands into Bitcoin locally. And then, you know, I could exit that in New York or London and Paris and in sterling, pounds or dollars. And that has the Treasury, I imagine, somewhat concerned.
Yeah, we saw that with the legal case with Standard Bank as well. I mean, there's definitely eyeballs pointing at this. And I know via or firsthand sometimes of people bringing cryptocurrency in and out of the country and using it. And while it was a gray area, yeah, people made up buying their own conscience. But now we're seeing legislation step in. I think it's perfectly warranted to give the community, the man on the street, some clarity and some trust with organizations such as BitExon, where they're regulated and they are insured. They have partnerships with other service providers that tick the same boxes.
Yep.
And if you're doing a cross-border transaction, if legislation encourages you to use these crypto asset service providers that are doing the reporting required by the Financial Intelligence Center, that are following the FSCA rules and compliance, yes, they're capturing data, and it might seem a little bit, well, that wasn't what crypto was designed for. Crypto was power to the person and self-custody. But if you're working in the real economy and flowing through, you've also got to play it by the law of the land.
100%. And that perhaps, I mean, for the person listening out there who's got some crypto as an investor, maybe, as you say, it's a stable coin, maybe it's a store of wealth, maybe it's one of the tokenized DeFi stocks that we're seeing. The process perhaps for me isn't going to be markedly different. This really is more what's happening behind the scenes, which is often the case in a regulatory environment. And I've had this conversation with other crypto experts. This kind of is the category growing up as legislation catches up to it.
Correct. And as you'll know firsthand with blockchain technology, these smart contracts and protocols that exist, and there's a bit of an industry jargon out there. But at the same time, I like to think of it, it sounds slightly dystopian, but it's almost programmable compliance. We can create this technology in such a way where the transaction monitoring can be automated and it can be reporting and should actually make the customer experience or the journey of being a cryptocurrency investor or you wanting to make a payment from South Africa to your homeland in Zimbabwe, you can do it automated, cheaper, quicker, and then all the reporting's done automatically. I think that's the state that we will emerge at. And that's really what we're thriving for as BitX and as an infrastructure provider.
That's actually a great point, and I hadn't thought of that, of course, because, you know, I mean, what's Bitcoin now? 16, 17 years old? I mean, this is new cutting edge. The big banks have got, you know, ledgers in their basement that are 100 plus years old. This really is saying the tech is there. This is a modern financial asset, modern financial instrument, and there's a lot more that we can do with it as the legislation catches up.
Correct. We use the balance of payments system, which is through the Reserve Bank, through the authorized dealers. Maybe there's a future state with cryptocurrency exchanges being like a digital authorized dealer or a authorized dealer limited authority, is the ability to help these cross-border transactions flow quickly, provide liquidity, and provide better pricing. But the instant settlement's key for a lot of people wanting to send money overseas, whether it's holidays, purchases, invoices between corporates. There's a way to unlock a lot of value stuck in Africa and let it move quicker. And I think this technology can enable us to do that. But maybe we just need to upgrade our systems in the background. And that's what the Reserve Bank needs to be spending a bit of time doing. Someone smarter than me needs to create a digital balance of payments form.
Yeah.
Have it automated.
Yep, 100%. I like that. Quicker and cheaper, moving it around. And maybe the Saab needs some catching up, but we'll leave it there. Public comics move to the end of June, so you still have time to talk. That's Mark Diogar. He is CEO of BitNex. Appreciate the time.
Give your money smoother returns with StanLib Asset Management. The StanLib Flexible Income Fund's agile investment process preserves and grows capital in all markets.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
So SpaceX listing in 2 weeks' time. A lot of excitement because it's got taken its valuation from 1.75 trillion to 1.8 trillion. Sounds like a bit of a rounding error, but it's going to be the biggest listing that the markets have ever seen. It's going to be bigger than Saudi Aramco, which was the previous biggest. But here's the thing. We all think it's a space company. I mean, certainly space is in the name. They send rockets into space. We had a Blue Origin rocket blow up last night, SpaceX is successfully doing it. Make no mistake about that. But if you read the document, there are 11 pages of photos of rockets. There's a lot of talk around space. But when you get to the part around the total addressable market, the TAM, which gives you an idea of where they're really focusing, then suddenly things get a little bit blurry. So space-enabled solutions, a total addressable market of $370 billion. This is launch services, satellite operations, dedicated space industry solutions, they say. $370 billion, it's not bad. It's a decentish market. Connectivity, which is their Starlink. And I got to say, the Starlink business is really good. It's running on margins of around 60-odd%. The traditional telcos, Comcast, AT&T, running at sort of half of that. Connectivity, they talk about a total addressable market of $1.6 trillion. It seems a little bit, the entire telco space in America last year did revenue of about $1.3 trillion. So, I suppose there's a big market there. And a lot of that is not you and I using it. It's the corporates, it's boats, it's airplanes and the like. And then the big one is artificial intelligence. Total addressable market, $26.5 billion, markedly bigger than anything else. This is AI, enterprise applications, infrastructure, consumer subscriptions, digital advertising, etc. The problem is that XAI and Grok is just nowhere. If you look at the Open Router token usage, we've got, and this is from the last 24 hours, we've got Google 640 billion, Anthropic 870 billion, OpenAI 480 billion, Minstrel right down there at 40 billion. We've got Quen, which is Chinese one, at 170 billion. ZAI also 160 billion. DeepSeek 790 billion. XAI, Grok, 20 billion. 20 billion. It is nowhere. Anthropic is more than 40 times bigger. We also know because they're able to rent data center capacity to OpenAI, to Anthropic rather, at $1.2 billion per month, which means they've got a ton of capacity, but no one's using their XAI. They're listing as an AI company, and they're just not winning the AI race. Podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning. The MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nobukle, Nicole Sabu, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again Monday. 12J is over. Now comes the tax pain.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.